Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I got to the end of that and I thought, I want to see him get mugged.
Right on, man. Who bring that one?
Yuckity yuck, McMannequin. The British Bulldog is part of the new generation.
You may all bow before T-Mabel.
Here comes the jackknife.
On lives the new generation and the World Wrestling Federation.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Review, as the other Cultaholic lads are on the road to Money in the Bank, cashing in that good dollar. We are here via our Icapro-powered DeLorean, looking at a company that barely has a dollar to its name. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, the former Cultaholic heavyweight champion Tom Campbell, and I am with the bear in the big blue bar cage. He is the head pen of Cultaholic, does not need a pencil. He gets it right every time. He's Justin Henry. He's only off of America.
How you doing there, Tommy?
I'm great, mate. How's America today?
I don't know. I've only been in one city since waking up.
How's the one city that you've been in? Has it been all right?
It's good. I assume like Wyoming's still standing and some Utah's fine. And I guess Arkansas's okay. I guess we're all still here.
That's nice to hear. Nice to hear. I've had a little bit. It's been quite an emotional 20 minutes since we started recording this. I was set to record at home, unable to do it at home. So I have rushed into work, to the office, to a little downstairs office where, I'll give you a little bit on the inside. It's where back in the old world, we used to do the news videos together. And obviously that's not been the case for a long while, but there's a couple of people here. There's like a couple of office people who are popping in and it's just like, oh, it's like the world is healing, Justin. It's like slightly like the old days.
Yeah, finally, they outnumber the vagrants in the building.
I wouldn't go that far. There's still plenty of vagrants here. I had to kick a few out. A few lads from over there.
We'll edit script for food.
Funny enough, that's how most of them got hired. But it's so nice.
Yeah, that guy's doing it for free. Old gray man, she ain't what she used to be.
That guy over there's doing it for free, and it's just you holding up war stories. Old old man, she ain't
Oh no, I don't do that for free. Dirt ass and cheap.
You do not do it for free, and you do not do this for free, I hope, anyway. But you are paying nothing for it, listening at home. We are going back in time to WWF in its more humble days. You know, back, you know, this day and age, it makes money despite itself. We're going back to a point where they were literally just clawing by. We are in 1995, the new generation era. And all's crap in the WWF. We're on the road to In Your House 2. Where and when are we this week, Justin Henry, for Monday Night Raw?
Well, this is a historic episode of our podcast here because for the first time ever, we have a fourth episode from the same static location, something that will become somewhat normal for the next year and a half or so. The fourth straight episode from the Danville something or other in Danville, Pennsylvania.
This is going to become part of the setup for WWF because they've normally been taping 3 weeks of shows at a time. But as we mentioned last week, money is still really tight and they're upping that to four. So they're going to get blocks of four tapings in
over the next few weeks. Got some notes to on this particular show on my phone because I'm not in my normal comfy position with a laptop there and a laptop there. What a privileged life I lead. But before Justin Henry goes into the rigors of this week's episode of Monday Night Raw, just a few things to paint a picture of the wrestling world at large at this particular point. You'll be surprised to know that morale is really down in the WWF at this moment in time. I shouldn't laugh, but it really is. They're not a very happy lot at the moment in the WWF.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know. I'm as surprised as you are. You thought they'd be really up for it. They just say at the moment, it's just it's a tough time at the moment for the company because it just doesn't seem like there's any forward momentum. And what's happening is that you got these guys doing these house show events still, and they've even said themselves, we're not even that bothered about it at the moment. And you're getting these half-hearted, half-witted house shows that are leading to fans not being massively happy with the product and the wrestlers not being massively happy with the product. An injury woe to bring up today as well, you know, because there's been enough of a shortage of top level guys. They've tried to create a star from the ground up in Savio Vega. Good news, Savio Vega's been injured.
Oh no.
He's out of action. He got injured on one of the house show runs, and he was replacing his matches there. Don't know how long this is going to keep Savio Vega out, if at all, but like a guy they've tried to build during this difficult time. What a heartbreaking moment. Whether you rate him or not as a guy they're working with, to get injured after all that build is just devastating.
Yeah, they've had a lot of bad luck this year, a little bit snake bitten, like Razor getting hurt before the King of the Ring tournament when he could have certainly helped it along, made it somewhat better than what it was, and I'm not saying a whole lot better. But yeah, 95 is, these aren't banner times for the promotion.
Weird times for wrestling in general, because it was a couple of days before this. Actually, it was the night before this, I should say. WCW presented Bash at the Beach 1995.
Waves are curling. Sharks will be swirling as Slim Jim presents WCW's Bash at the Beach. Snap into a Slim Jim.
Step into the biggest thing ever to hit the beach. WCW's Bash at the Beach. Oh, yeah. Brought to you by Slim Jim. Snap into it. I'll be snapping into some payback from the Nature Boy. Oh, yeah.
The big steel cage will be rumbling like a tidal wave when WCW World Champion Hulk Hogan returns to the shores of the Pacific to fend off the miraculous monster Big Van Vader. Let's rumble and tumble at the WCW Bash at the Beach. Sponsored by Slim Jim. Snap into it.
Now, Justin, when I say that pay-per-view name, we'll go into some of the details of it in a moment, but when I say that pay-per-view name to you, what comes to mind as a long-term wrestling fan?
Well, I think of a crowd of 354,000 people on the beach up in San Bernardino. Or I'm sorry, Huntington Beach. Or whatever. It's like 475,000 people. How many was it?
A lot of people. I don't have the exact number. I know that the issue they had was there was no tiered seating. So everybody was just sort of on the same level, which made watching it very difficult.
I think you're missing my point here. Shivani said during the broadcast that there was 100,000 people there. There was like 8,000.
What? I didn't know he said that.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony.
Chuck Clayton was bigger than WrestleMania 3, and then there was like maybe, I don't know, 1/10 of that.
Do you know which famous celeb was in talks to appear at Bash the Beach but never quite made it?
David Hasselhoff?
It was The Hoff. He was indeed originally going to appear at the Bash with the Baywatch crew, but their schedule got too busy is the excuse that they used, which is fine.
You realize how much Alex Wright would have marked out when he saw him?
It's our hero. It's our true leader.
Which, again, proves my theory. Germans love David Hasselhoff.
They do. He's big money is The Hoff. You don't hassle The Hoff in Germany and beyond.
That's right.
It's a show of two halves, this one. Basically, if you're a live fan, it's a nightmare to watch anything. If you're watching on pay-per-view, it's not a great pay-per-view either.
No.
Let's see how good you are on the star system. I like seeing you're normally pretty hot to trot on these. So in our one of our first dark matches, Johnny B. Bad beat Chris Kanyon with a Frankensteiner in 2 minutes.
I'm guessing it was a spirited 2-minute match, but I can't imagine it's rated very highly. 1 star.
1.25. Not bad.
Canyon always busted his ass.
Road Warrior Hawk pins Mark Starr with a clothesline off the top in 1.25.
With all due respect to both, that's got to be a dud.
It's a half star.
What?
It got at least off the ground.
A hawk did.
Dirty Dick Slater and Bunkhouse Buck beat Marcus Bagwell and Hoff's favorite, Alex Wright. 3.25 this was. Some short matches before the show starts. What do you reckon this got?
This could really go either way. I'm going to say half a star.
A quarter of a star.
That was close.
Just your quarter. Sting retained the US title. He beat Meng in quarter of an hour, 15 minutes and 31 seconds. How did that do as your proper opener match?
Yeah, but they run the main pay-per-view now, definitely.
Yes, you certainly are.
Two
stars, spot on. Exactly two stars. Mm. Get in there, lad. Follow that up with Renegade retaining the TV title by pinning Paul Orndorff at 6.12.
I know there's a hyphen in front of this one. There has to be. With all due respect to Mr. Wonderful, who is apparently not in the best health at the moment.
No, I saw that. That was heartbreaking.
This match was not Paul Orndorff's fault. He did what he could with what he had to work with. I'm going to say -2.
There is a dash there, but the dash is connected to a C and then turned on its side because it's a dud. This was a dud. Yeah, this was a dud. In the same week that Killer Kowalski is disavowing any knowledge of ever training Renegade.
This was the match where, and I don't want to harp on Renegade because you know he's since passed on.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in way over his head with his push.
Yeah.
And he threw two of the absolute worst drop kicks you've ever seen in your entire life during this match. I mean, whatever you think of Eva Marie as a performer. And I know she gets a lot of flack. It's like, why is she back when you get rid of Mickey and the Iconics? And I understand that sentiment.
Yeah.
She could at least do a better drop kick than what Renegade did on the show. I guarantee it.
As you say, way in over his head with this particular story, with this particular character, this particular push. He did what he could do.
We'll go down to the pound and get a new Ultimate Warrior.
Aww. Kamala beat Jim Duggan in 6 minutes. How did this do?
4.5.
I nailed it, mate. It'd have been 5 in the Tokyo Dome. Minus a quarter of a star.
Bullshit.
Dave didn't think it was that bad, to be fair.
FDM. I kid. I get it.
I don't.
Hip Proc 95, you're putting Duggan against Kamala. I mean, come on now.
What a time to be alive as a wrestling fan.
Oh, really?
Diamond Dallas Page beat Dave Sullivan in 5 minutes. How did this do on the old star system?
This couldn't have been good. I'm going to say 1.
This was half a star. So you weren't far off. Close, but no cigar.
Maybe Page could have miracled it to at least a full.
he nearly did, bless him. In a confusing mess of a match, Harlem Heat retained the tag titles over the Nasty Boys and the Blue Bloods. This was a match that saw essentially Brian Knobbs go for the pin on Regal, but Booker T fell between Knobbs and Regal. So essentially it meant that Harlem Heat retained the titles. Unfortunately, the Pac'em and Stack'em Roman Reigns rule hadn't come into effect at this particular point, because had that been the case, then whoever was on top would have been the champion. Regardless of that, how many stars?
I think this has a hyphen also.
It does have a hyphen.
-1.
-0.5. You're not far off with these. You're not far off with this. Okay, the best match of the night is up next.
Hang on. Let me just state for the record, we live in a time where William Regal, Lord Steven Regal, and Booker T are in a match that is negative stars.
Yep.
Never forget that.
Never forget your roots, kid. The best match of the night up next, Randy Savage beating Ric Flair in a lumberjack match after 13:55.
Well, it was a lifeguard match, technically, but same thing, a lumberjack match. I don't recall this being his greatest or Great American Bash match. I'm going to say 3.
Dave says, nowhere near as good as their previous match, but compared with the rest of the show, it was 2.75 stars.
That was close.
Very close. And in our main event, Hogan retains a WCW title, beating Big Van Vader in a steel cage. 13-13 this went.
I think Vader worked for like a severe chest injury in this match too. And this was his last pay-per-view match with the company too, Vader.
Yeah.
As we'll come to find out.
End of an era.
I'm going to say 2.25.
2.5. Not bad at all. Not a bad effort at all. So, not the greatest shows. Aesthetically, it looks really nice. Aesthetically, it looks really nice.
So did WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, that's true. All style and no substance. But with WCW, all the motors are running for the company at the moment. All the motors are running. Update on WCW's TV show. Now being named something like Wrestling Nitro. I don't like it. Wrestling Nitro. It's happening apparently on the 4th of September in Miami at the Knight Center. He's a bit upset, his old Eric, because the budget the TNT came up with is barely a third of what Eric wanted. So this will be interesting.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Knight Center there, because even though the first Nitro was not there, that is where the first on-the-road Dynamite is going to be from for the Road Rager edition.
Would it be a third of the budget as well, I wonder?
Well, it's for... Oh, Tony Khan likes spending money.
He loves spending some money, doesn't he, our boy TK?
I'm going to tweet him and ask him to license me a song.
which song are you asking to license you?
The Toxic Waltz by Exodus.
Amazing. I'm going to ask him if I can have Black Lace Agadoo. Because it's a song I want to get played at my funeral. I want to own all of it.
It's good for entering convenience stores with.
Exactly. And garden centers. That's how we do it. So that is the...
Have you ever seen the video of the guy who dubbed over the WrestleMania 8 commentary to the guy being thrown out of the store because he wouldn't wear a mask?
No.
Hold on.
You're going to send it to me, aren't you? You're going to send it to me, aren't you?
Just keep talking. I need your reaction on air.
I'm going to give you my reaction on air. I want to see this. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
I'm not there yet. I'm still finding it.
Oh. Well... I wonder. I think I might have seen something similar to it, but I don't know whether I've seen this one.
So have you ever
have you ever loved and lost somebody?
Sure have.
Oh, by the way, what we'll do whilst Justin is getting this clip ready for me, I want to see it. So what's just a heads up. Next week, it is an In Your House watch along. We are watching In Your House 2. It's the next on the docket for the Classic Raw review. And as we are wont to do when it comes to pay-per-views, we do the watch along commentary track instead. So instead of recapping what happened, we watch it with you via the power of the WWE Network or Peacock or whatever you've got. And it is not just Justin Henry and myself next week. No. Delighted to be in the company of a man who went all over the place on TikTok just a few months ago, doing wrestling entrances on TikTok. In his daytime job, he is a professor at college, and in his time between lessons, he's reenacting wrestlers' entrances. Guys like Dave Bautista and Triple H showing their love for him. He's been on The Bump as well, talking about it. Professor Nick Harrison is going to watch In Your House 2 with us. He's been a wrestling fan his entire life. When I said In Your House 2, he was like, yeah, the lumberjack match. Yeah, we go. We've got an expert.
He's excited for the lumberjack match?
I don't know. I think he's excited just us three having a chat. I don't know whether the excitement comes from the lumberjack match. It might do. It might be doing a whole great disservice, but we are joined by Professor Nick Harrison next week for the Classic Raw review watch along of In Your House 2. Happy days.
It appears I can't find it because it's hard to search for.
Well, you're going to have to send it me afterwards, and then we'll share it online, and then you can... And then people can message me and tell me to send it to them. It's special content for special listeners of this special podcast.
Yeah. Sure says special a lot there.
Special. I am well special. Well, don't worry about it. We'll find it another time. We'll maybe put a link to it in the notes because we're good like that. how's about we take a look at this week's episode of Monday Night Raw, led by the glorious Justin Henry from off of America.
Okay, so we're in Danville. It is garbage. Not Danville itself.
Oh, poor Danville.
I know. I shouldn't have slighted them like that.
Nah, you should.
I mean, it's not your fault this show is bad, Danville. I'm not going to lie. I'm scrolling through previous text messages with a friend that I know I sent it to while doing this at the same time. Because this is where my level of focus is right now. Because I mean, this video is more important than this role.
Absolutely.
Shawn Michaels, in a little while, you're going to find out firsthand what it's like to pay the tax man. And when I get done with you, you're going to be the heartbroken kid.
IRS, I know what it's like to pay the tax man. I do it every April 15th. But now I'm going to get a chance to do what every red-blooded American would love to do, and that's smack the tax man around. Tonight, you, my friend, are going to have to pay the heartbreak kid.
All right, so we open with an IRS promo, which actually has some passion to it, which is amazing.
It's a lot of energy.
Because you see on the show, he's facing Shawn Michaels. And Shawn's going to do it. Shawn's going to get something passable out of him because it's Shawn Michaels. And he's a somewhat passionate promo of what he's going to do to Shawn tonight. And Shawn points out that he pays his taxes. And he's not afraid of the tax man and all that, blah, 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 blah. We have our simple to the point, promo to open this show up.
I was kind of hoping that he'd be like, I pay my taxes every 2 years. Or like a little comment like that. But he was like, oh, I paid on the 11th of April, like everybody else. I was like, ah, oh, he could have had some fun with that. I thought Shawn might have had some fun with that.
And then Shawn crashes a plane and then hides out under the name Rory B. Bello somewhere.
There you go.
Gets a boat.
There's a guy who did that.
There's
a guy who did that in the Northeast. Not crashed a boat, but he faked a death in order to avoid paying like income tax and stuff and getting the life insurance. And he lived in a cupboard for 10 years.
A cupboard?
So basically in this house, I think they're turning it into a film. It's a guy from round here. And he faked his own death. His wife was in on it. He faked his own death. And there was a wardrobe in their house that he would go into. And then on the other side of it was like a room. And like his wife would take him in dinner and stuff on the evening. and his kids thought he died. Like everyone thought he was dead. And then it ended up, somebody ended up spotting him. Or I think they ended up spotting him out somewhere. And then the paper trail led back to the house and they went to prison. And the kids are like, why did you tell him? Why did you make us go through the funeral of our dad knowing he was in the cupboard? It's an incredible story. Incredible story.
So you're telling me it didn't lead him to Narnia?
No. No, it led him to Noia. It led him to prison.
The Lion, the Witch, and the 10-year sentence.
The Lying Bitch and the Wardrobe. I'm surprised they didn't go with the headline. I say no respect, no disrespect, but nah, plenty of disrespect. You told your kid your dad had died. Like, all the disrespect for that. That's nasty work.
He is risen.
What are the odds he's alive again? I just started going, I've had to move on from your dad. I've met someone else. And then it's just the husband with the fake mustache.
It's the ghost of your father, and he's just wearing a sheet over him.
I decided to start dating his ghost. That's perfectly fine. We won't question this at all.
By the show of making clay sculptures together.
Nice.
How does he see through his tiny eye holes?
How did he get found out? Well, Whoopi Goldberg was walking by.
John, I don't ask for a lot of specific photoshops, but I want the scene from Ghost with Demi Moore. But instead of Patrick Swayze, it's just a guy in a sheet ghost costume behind her. If you could pull that off, I'd be grateful.
A lo-fi version of Ghost.
Yes. it's the trauma version.
I want to make that version of Ghost.
Ed Wood's sheet.
described by Mexican newspapers everywhere as sheet.
So I can't find the damn video. The hell. I'll find it one day.
We'll mention, talking of videos, I forgot to mention this in our little introduction. So obviously I'm in the office today recording this, and there's a little bit of life back and forth. In the room next to this, there is preparation for Hell in a Smell 4 going on.
I'm excited.
Mate. So. Oh my God. It's something else. I've never been more happy to not be Adam Vigiti.
What could this entail?
Oh, I'm going to send you a picture when we finish today. I can't. If you're listening to this going, oh, that's a bit in. It's a bit in, that is. Is it inclusive? Shut up. I can't show you. You'll find out on the weekend what it is, because it's this weekend. But, oh, man. I was privy to a planning meeting for it as well. And, oh, Adam is in for a treat when he finds out.
So he doesn't even know yet?
Hell no. He knows he's doing it. That's all he knows. He don't know what's going on behind that door. And he won't know till Saturday.
Poor bastard.
He shouldn't have been a dirty Tory.
Well, Vince talks here about the crowd's tremendous enthusiasm, which, I mean, yeah, listen to that heat machine go. And then
up for it, aren't they? That IRS match graphic. Why does IRS look like he's eating a really bad sweet?
Is he sweating?
He doesn't seem to be sweating in that picture. So maybe that's why he looks so uncomfortable, because his pores are all closed.
Well, at least him and Lawler aren't green screen this time.
That's true. They're actually there.
That actually is a positive for a change. We open up with Yokozuna and Owen Hart taking on Jim Dimitri and Gus Kontarakis.
Kontarakis is back! What the an action amazing name. Day!
You follow who you want. I'm following Kontarakis.
Why would Vince not get behind anyone called Kontarakis? Jeez, it just warmed my cockles to see Kontarakis back on television.
It warmed your cockles, you say?
It warmed my cockles.
I found the video.
Oh!
See, I'm not that bad at podcasting. I'm stalling for a reason.
Justin operating at half speed today.
Don't worry. I want to pick up now because you're gonna watch this while I.
Okay, I'm gonna watch this okay. Now. Hang on.
So, Lola shouts out to Matthew with a "You talk too much" drop. So I did put attention Matthew here. Cornette actually makes fun of the other names of the jobbers here, because says they sound like a law firm, but he had nice matching blue singlets at least. I told you it was worth it.
That's amazing. Oh, it's a Sainsbury's. Oh, that's exciting. It's happening in the UK. Oh, it's amazing. Have I been in that Sainsbury's? Mate, that's made my day. Thank you.
Now you know why I stalled so much.
Worth the stalling. It's just the timing is amazing.
For those who have no idea what we're talking about, there's a video of a guy being thrown out of a store last year, I assume, for refusing to wear a mask. Like two cops are dragging him away, and someone dubbed over the WrestleMania 8 commentary of Monsoon and Heenan. Oh. Like Hulk Hogan doesn't have a friend in the world. Pretend the cops are Sid and Papa Shango, and all of a sudden, at the right time, queued up perfectly. The Ultimate Warriors music hits, and in comes this guy, this really disheveled looking man with like an unbuttoned shirt. Like, that's the Warriors man. Like, here comes the off, and he runs after him, like, the cop to save his friend and starts brawling with him.
That's so good. Big shout out to Sainsbury's. That's in a Sainsbury's store in the UK. I'm delighted to see Sainsbury's getting doing the rounds. It'll be on my Twitter at Tom Campbell. So by the time you're hearing this, because this is going out on the day of recording, by the time you hear this, you will have also seen the video as well, because it'll be on my Twitter. Go check it out. God bless them. That's amazing.
Well, at least Dimitri and Kantarakis here were not as cool as the two men in the video, unfortunately.
Why don't Kantarakis's ring? Why don't their ring gear fit properly? Do you not notice it's quite loose?
Because Bruce lied. There is a box of gimmicks.
There is, isn't there? There is. I swear to God. And it's just like you've had to grab whatever's left. It's like the PE kit box at school. If you forget your PE kit, you just got to wear whatever's left over.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you two are going to be the blue singlet connection tonight. Yeah. They have a white knee pad on one leg and a blue knee pad on the other. I guess out of solidarity.
Oh, bless him. I'm sure Kantarakis, when we saw him last time, just had like trunks and his boots. Like he was pretty casual in terms of what he was wearing.
Maybe they were auditioning to be like the Smurf tag team.
They look like it's kind of got the American Alpha vibe to it.
American Beta.
The world's greatest tag team.
The world's lamest tag team?
The world's lamest tag team. That's even better.
It's like, you don't understand. If we're a tag team, Vince will just split us and give us singles pushes.
Ah, so there's a method to their madness.
So Yoko and Owen are facing the Allied Powers at In Your House too.
Jason Boredom and Chad Not Able. I'm done now.
Chad Disable.
Charlie can't and... Shelton, and I can't make any Benjamins.
Wilted Benjamin.
Wilted
Benjamin. You're all stopping me now.
I'm quite easily stopped.
I always hurt. Why am I in this business?
Not even my mother wants to come here.
So Vince brings up the body slam challenge from 2 years ago because we're trying to still tie in Luger Yoko's. God, this is like the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn of that era.
Fight forever! Please do not!
I can't imagine Luger doing the ska skanking on the way to the ring like Zayn does. Dun, 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 dun.
I can imagine Kevin. I can imagine Yokozuna doing a swanton off the top rope.
I can imagine. It's bad enough when Lafitte does it. Yoko would put a hole in the mat.
Oh my god!
So we get the most underrated tag move ever. Owen gives a drop toe hold to one poor bastard, and Yoko just hauls in and drops the big leg on the back of their head. I love that move so much.
Very simple, very effective.
I wish I was a gasp from the crowd. Owen puts Dimitri in the sharpshooter, and that is it. And Owen, true to form, holds up both belts in victory.
I think this team are doing the best they can. They are the best they can be, aren't they?
And Yoko, who, with all due respect, was very out of shape at this point. Owen could do all the work. Yoko comes in and gets the big spots and the tags back out, and Owen keeps on carrying the match. It's a good dynamic.
Yeah, it does the job. It does what it needs to do.
We get the In Your House 2 report. I got to say, on paper, this was not a bad-looking show other than the main event.
It looked better than In Your House 1.
Yes.
They're doing the best they can with the tools they've got.
Owen and Yoko versus the Allied Powers. Diesel and Sid lumberjack match. Tonight we learn who Diesel's lumberjacks are. I'll bet they're all baby faces, Tom.
I wish there'd be a couple of heels in there and just going, what? I just want the best lumberjacks. Or he just brings in some actual lumberjacks. I didn't understand the memo.
He brings in the cast of Monty Python.
Oh my God, yes! I cut down trees, I wear high heels, suspenders, and a bra. I wish I'd been a girly, just like my dear papa. John, put Kevin Nash in the Lumberjacks.
You think Vince would get that humor, though?
It's funny because his father shouldn't wear a skirt. What a song!
Imagine Vince booking Monty Python for like a guest appearance and then scripting them.
Oh no, that would make me make me really sad.
I know.
All right, there, fella. I can do a silly walk too. All right. Hey, Sheamus is doing a silly walk. Isn't this crazy? Oh, God.
They're giving Picasso a paint by numbers.
You'd have at least one match, one with a fish to the face, though. They'd have to.
Sure, a flying cow.
He just got hit with some spam. What's going on, King? Oh, no. I'm glad they didn't. Makes me sad to think of it. I mean, they did the Muppets one, and the Muppets wasn't too miserable.
You had to choose your words carefully there. You had to think.
Wasn't too miserable. Some of the highlights of the Muppets GM takeover was the backstage with Beaker and Sheamus. That was cute. And the bit where Beaker gives Santino like power juice, like some like a special formula, and they cut it and they do camera angles in such a certain way where it just looks like Beaker just appears and gives him it's cute.
Well, you know what it is, it's you can't ruin the Muppets.
It's true, you'd have to do something dramatic, you'd have to go out of your way to ruin the Muppets.
Their magic will always shine through.
It does indeed. I might watch that again tonight, actually, when the Muppets were guest hosts of Raw.
So Diesel and Sid, Diesel and Lumberjack find out tonight. We're getting Jared's video again later on because we are padding.
More padding.
Mm-hmm. This is the bubble wrap of wrestling shows. Sean and Jared, Rhodey Kid, Ramon and Vega versus Men on the Mission, and Bigelow versus Hogman.
I forgot Hogman. That slipped my mind. Fireman. Right, Fireman. You're fighting Hogman. I'm not a fireman, though. Yeah, but you made a fire. Yeah, but that fireman would suggest that I'm an actual fireman. Yeah, do that, actually. That's a good idea. Do that. Be a fireman. Be a fireman. And you'll be a Hogman. And I'll be Britain man. All right, Davey. Guess GM.
And that's how Davey won Best Booker in the Observer Awards.
Thank you, Dave. Or should I say newsletter man?
Right on, man.
Star man.
Man.
Here's my impression of Dave Meltzer. Hello, star man. I am star. Here's some stars. Thank you. That was my impression of Dave Meltzer.
He's a real rich little Davey boy, is.
I think this might be, combining the classic reviews together, this might be the third British Bulldog bit in the show's history.
He lends himself well to them.
It really does. It really does. God, he was born, God love him.
He was born at least 20 years too early for the subversive comedy era of wrestling.
Oh,
and life in general.
He'd have had a ball, wouldn't he? During the last couple of years.
What's better, Hogman or Game Boy?
Game Boy.
Hey, Game Boy.
Listen to me, Game Boy. I'm not playing Tetris on you.
You and your spinach-colored skin.
You listen to me, Game Boy. Your spinach-colored skin. If you think I'm going to play Little Mermaid 2 Pinball Frenzy on you, you've got another thing coming.
I ain't playing you. I ain't got 4 AA batteries.
Quick battery man.
So... In a bit of a segue here, Vince refers to IRS as Steffi Graf's favorite wrestler.
I presume Steffi Graf had some tax issues at this point.
Her father did.
Right.
Which I'm sure is a very nice, sensitive topic that he makes a joke about, because it's topical and I made a joke. I'm like Dave Letter person.
Letterman. I've got it. Letterman.
And that's how he was named, because he does read letters on the show.
He reads letters. We'll call him Letterman.
And that's how he was named. He was originally Dave Rockefeller, but then...
Rockman. No, we've got one of them. No. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's called The Thing.
Oh, no, now we've got two. I need more names. Davey Boy Smith designed all the bad guys in the Mega Man game franchise.
Yes.
That clears that up.
So after Vince makes a tax evasion joke about a complete stranger, we go to Jean-Pierre Lafitte versus David Thornburg. And Vince makes a Whitewater reference because Vince is on top of the news this week. See, we're live, pal.
Before we get into this one, I don't know whether you have ever heard what Jean-Pierre Lafitte thought of the pirate gimmick, what PCO thought of his time as a pirate in WWF.
Forgive me.
Well, he told WrestleZone how he felt about the gimmick and his story with Bret Hart. He said, quote, "It was the lamest storyline I've ever been involved in. My reaction was, at least they want to do something with me. At first, I stole, I think it was Savio Vega's flag, because he used to go to the ring with a flag all the time. Then it was a kid who wore Bret's glasses when after the matches, he'd always give his pair of glasses. And then I stole it from the kid, which was Yokozuna's kid." This is all word for word from PCO. It's the fact that he starts off by saying, "I stole a flag, then it was a kid." Like, what, you stole a child? He goes on to say, "It was a prearranged bit because you don't go into the crowd and take glasses from a kid, you know? I'm glad you cleared that up. I was happy because they were doing something with me. Then I got to feud with Bret, and Bret was top man at the time. He was the man. He was the guy who had just been the world champ and all that. He was basically putting the company on his shoulders quite a lot. So I was super thrilled, even though it was a lame storyline." So he didn't like being the pirate, and he stole the stun glasses off of Yokozuna's son.
I know that angle, and we'll see it come up in probably about the next month or so. But it pays off with a great match, at least.
Yes, it does. It does. These guys can both wrestle very well.
I dare say it is the best WWF match ever that involves a WrestleCrap character.
Wow.
Not including Royal Rumble matches.
Oh, okay. So one-on-one matches.
Because, I mean, 93 Rumble had a Repo Man in it and Colonel Mustafa and...
What about, surely, Doink and Jannetty?
That's... No. That's Matt Bourne Doink. That does not count.
Right. That was good Doink. Bad good Doink. Not good bad Doink.
Exactly.
Right.
So, we'll see how you feel when we see Lafitte and Bret at the third in your house, but that's... I think it's pretty hard to top. It depends on how you feel about Jarrett. If you call his gimmick wrestle crap, because him and Sean are going to have a belter at the second in your house.
One of the best in your house matches ever.
But I don't quite consider that to be as, because at least Jarrett could talk in the role and be more than just what he was. So
yeah,
I guess it's subjective how you look at it. Mm-hmm. So Thornburg throws some clotheslines. Lafitte no sells him. Lawler makes a comment about having someone's gums buffed, which is a reference to Isaac Yankum. And Vince actually corpses a little bit, trying to like dismiss the line. He guffaws a little. That's kind of a fun moment.
Vince drops a line here, and I couldn't find the story that it was about because he talks about the Queen going on a diet. It was a weird line. I looked it up, and I couldn't find anything from the 90s about the Queen deliberately going on a diet. I know, like, what she eats during the day has been published numerous times, like in terms of like how she, what meals she'll have throughout the day. What's that? What does the Queen eat? Well, I'll tell you, Justin. For breakfast, she'll have Earl Grey tea with toast and marmalade, maybe kippers. For lunch, she'll have Dover sole on spinach, but no starchy food.
Afternoon, what the hell's
a kipper? It's a kipper. It's a fish.
Oh.
Type of fish. Okay. Dover Soles type. She loves her fish, says the Queen. Because afternoon tea, she'll have cucumber and egg sandwiches, maybe salmon sandwiches. For dinner, she'll start with pate and then have fillet steak and mushrooms for her main. And then a creme brulee if she's feeling a little bit fruity for dessert.
It's not a bad diet.
It's all right, isn't it? She eats a lot of fish, says the Queen.
She door dashes in a burrito from Moe's. which were my mind's at right about now.
Oh, I'm starving. Don't say that.
So Lafitte gets a high German suplex on Thornburg as he is being accused of locker room theft. You don't want to be accused of that in wrestling.
There's two things you don't do in a locker room: steal something or go your business in a handbag.
Yeah,
those are the two things you don't want to be doing.
So then Lafitte goes up to the top rope after Thornburg gets knocked to the outside. Now I'm waiting for Thornburg to turn around so he can sort of catch Lafitte on whatever he's going to do, break his fall. No, Lafitte just dives. Thornburg, he doesn't turn around. So Lafitte just jumps on him from behind, from the top rope. A 300-pound man just barrels right into him.
That looked ace. It looked ace.
Not for Thornburg.
No, not for Thornburg, but so, it looked ace for us watching it.
Thornburg. If he was a real Berg, he would have no-sold it and speared him.
You're next to get flattened.
Back in DDT, and then Lafitte does the really cool heart rip gesture that I love so much. He makes the X with it with the hand, and then pantomime's tearing the heart out of the chest. Goes up top, cannonball finishes. He may have hated the gimmick, but you know what? I kind of like Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We go from that gimmick to another rotund individual, not given the very best of gimmicks. Our old friend Fatu.
This is where it all started for me, Fatu. This is where I grew up right here, Sunnydale, California. My address, 57 Blackdale. This was my playground where I used to hang out with all my little buddies, but as you can see now, it ain't there no more. My mama always told me, and I'll never forget this, she always told me, never forget who you are and never forget where you come from. Well, you know what? If my mama was here today, she'd be one proud lady, because I'm back home. This is where it all started. I'm going to show you where I grew up. It wasn't no big palace. It wasn't no big house. This is the door here. This little place. It might be little, but it was home sweet home for me and my brothers. And remember, when I come to the wrestling ring, WWF, I'm going to make a difference myself, just like my mama told me. And remember, there ain't no hope with dope. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody. Make a difference.
Out in the streets of San Francisco, he's going to make a difference. He's going to clean up the streets. He's wearing this multicolored jacket that looks, I ain't going to lie, it's a product of its time, but I'd probably wear it around the house or something.
It looks like he's been dipped in the 90s. In this, he's been dipped in the 90s. It's a hell of a 90s look. This is
walking. Feels like an explosion at the Crayola factory.
it looks like they took this jacket, they cut it into strips, and made the Saved by the Bell title sequence.
That's even better.
That's amazing jacket. So good. Yes.
If Fatu is, I guess, is part Slater, part Zach, part Screech, part. You're throwing a little Kelly Kapowski, I guess.
Belding, sorry, not Bellend. Bellend. This is very harsh.
Well, if he asked Jericho, he might be Bellend.
I think if you ask a few people in TNA, they'd probably think, yeah, he's a bit Bellend.
The wrestling groupie, Mr. Belding.
Belding's a massive wrestling fan, isn't he? The guy who plays Mr. Belding.
We should get him for a watch along.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time. Yes. Find him. He's on Twitter all the time, isn't he?
Take a sip every time he says, "What is going on here?"
Zach, my office.
Can we get Kelly Kapowski on? I know she's getting up there in age, but she's, I was gonna say, by the Bell fam. We all were.
Is she a wrestling fan? Does that matter?
I don't think. No, it doesn't matter.
Is she your Jet from Gladiators? We know Adam Pacitti loves Jet from Gladiators.
Well, we all had a crush on Kelly Kapowski growing up. Come on.
Yeah, that's fair. That's pretty fair. Mm. I quite like Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Understandable. Mm. But and she's a wrestling fan, so.
Yeah.
What to fight Dax Harwood for?
Oh, he's tough as well. I don't want to fight him.
One of them tough Carolina guys. I ain't messing with Dax.
Well, if we can get Topanga and Mr. Bellend again. We can get Topanga and Mr. Bellend on. Zach, my office. You keep calling me Bellend.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means. That's a throwback.
We're getting the classics here.
Oh, hey, isn't Jim Duggan crap? There's a classic.
There you go.
Duggan, my office.
So I should point out that Fatu is driving around talking about want to clean up the streets, make a difference in his community. I get what they're going for here, but it's a weird period to do it in because it's such a subversive time in society where it's more about like people love ECW. They love the extreme things like violent movies and profanity filled music. And it's a very edgy time. And here you have a guy who's trying to be for the kids and all that. And it's going to come off. You're not going to hit a good mark with this one.
Comes off as saccharine.
Yes.
At a time where you want a bit of, you know, you want to be a bit acidic, you know. It's when, you know, when the whole table has ordered shots of Sambuca, you're ordering a cherry pop. It's like you've not read the room, what's going on. Drink responsibly, always read the label. But it's the whole thing of the world's going in this direction. And Vince was really high on this. Bruce Pritchard on the Rikishi episode of Something to Wrestle With, Bruce was saying that Vince was really pushing for this to be a thing. Vince said Vince even said like the day of the Wild Samoan Savage is over. And we've got a really well-spoken young man here who is doing in real life all the things that he does in this gimmick. He goes, you know, he helps people back home. He supports loved ones and sends a positive message. So it's kind of like amping up who Salofa Fatu Jr. was at this point. To 11, and that's where it comes from. As you say, it doesn't really hit. It's not very zeitgeisty, is it? It's not really what the direction the world is going in.
You remember when Mustafa Ali was having those vignettes where it showed him like stopping robbers from like attacking people and just being like this guardian of the neighborhood, so to speak, like almost like a streetwise superhero.
Yeah.
And I mean, they went nowhere with it, but I mean, that'd be a much better way to go about it. You know, you maintain some level of badassery because Fatu can be an intimidating guy. He's a big borderline 400-pound wrestler. You know, why make him this big cuddle bug?
That was where they went wrong with it. The cuddle bug route is where we went down that path and it went wrong. So instead of having him like walking up to kids who were playing in the street and sort of laughing with their parents, instead of having him walk up to a wall where there's a heart that's been crossed out, to which he goes, "See, that's what I'm saying. There's no love here anymore." It was so crap. You could have had him like, I wanted to see him. Like, and it's the wrong thing to happen, right? Because you want him at the time, they want to make this guy and like, hey, this real feel-good guy. Like at the end where he shoehorns in, oh, and don't forget, if you do dope, you're a dope. He just chucks that in at the end. Like, oh, by the way, don't say no to dope, you kids. I got to the end of that and I thought, I want to see him get mugged. I want to see him walking around his old neighborhood going, yeah, it's rough around here. By Afa and Meng. They just shake him down for money. And then Meng wouldn't need Afa. Rip Meng. His jacket up and leave him on the ground.
And we never see Fatu again.
Or no, we just do a couple. Like, he's like, and every time we go back to him, he's looking more and more beat up. He's like, I'm back in the streets, massive black eye, ripped jacket. Little kid comes up and goes, hey, Fatu, you suck. Kicks him in the shin. Keys his car. I was begging for that. That would have been amazing.
He had to go on the witness protection. That's why he was the Sultan for a year and a half.
Yeah, turned out he took out his anger on the wrong person. He was a very well connected member of a crime family where he grew up. So now, Ricky Fatu is dead. I'm the Sultan now.
Oh, wait. What I'm about to say is a very 90s sentiment here.
I wouldn't have it any other way from you, sir.
His life turned around when he began shoving his ass. That is exactly what happened.
That's, hey, mate, same. Absolutely same. My life turned around when I started shaking my booty. Yeah, everything got better.
It's one of those things where you couldn't have invented it. It had to happen periodically, and it had to happen gradually. It's, like, the evolution of Fatu as a performer is bizarre.
Mm. Like, he was always this, like, I think he always had a certain flair about him that made him stand out as a singles guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Had a natural physical charisma.
Yeah. And yeah, a physical charisma. And weirdly, like, when he was going, like, all in with it, it was a bit, a bit too much. But when he sort of cooled back on it and was just sort of playing this too cool for school Rikishi, that's when people really got behind him.
Well, yeah, it happened. He was the first time him and Too Cool did the dance together. It's like, it just, for no, like, there was no reason they should have been aligned, but here you have these, you know, two faux hip hop white boys and this big 400-pound man tan guy wearing a thong, and all of a sudden they start line dancing together and the crowd just lost their minds. It made no sense, but it was perfect.
It, like, just, it landed, didn't it? It just landed.
It just, it shouldn't have, but it did.
I like weeks like this on the podcast feed where the stars weirdly align, because here are you and I, like the OGs of the classic review game, talking about the arrival of Fatu, make a difference, Fatu. In a couple of days' time, on the classic SmackDown review, we're going to watch Steve Austin kick the shit out of Rikishi for running him over. Like, 5 years between the two events.
See, that's what happened. Fatu was bringing the word to the streets about cleaning things up, and Awesome was out there because he was unemployed, so Fatu ran him over by accident.
Well, yeah, what if it turned out that he was just like, I'm on my way to make a difference. Get out of my way, sir. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't make a difference. I've killed a man. In his car, yeah. It says cock piss Rikishi on the side, and his key marks down it.
and that's what John! Really happened.
Cock piss Rikishi on the car. Give us some Alan Partridge. I don't know whether you get that one. I might have to run that one by. So Alan Partridge parked his car in a really dodgy area, and then when we cut back to it, and someone tells him, "Oh, your car's been graffitied," and guy says, it's okay, I don't think anybody will notice. Next shot is you cut to him driving on the road, and written in big letters across the side of his car, it says cock piss Partridge. And just he doesn't clean it off, he just drives everywhere with a car that's just cock piss Partridge. So I want cock piss Rikishi or cock piss Fatu on a car going through the streets making a difference. I love one. They are, honest to God, if the Fatu skits had just been Fatu, bless him, trying to make a difference, but just getting mugged and battered every time he tries, that's money. That is money.
By the fourth vignette, he's driving with the boot of the car like Homer had in New York City. Just going up and ka-chunk, going up, ka-chunk.
I was just trying to make a difference, man. Shut up, Rikishi.
Fifth when he's tied to a tree, kids are throwing stuff at him.
Shut up, Fatu. Take this cocaine to the guy over there. Okay. Put this cocaine up your ass, Rikishi. Get on that plane. Okay. Just trying to make a difference.
Just wanted to help the kids.
Yeah, you can help the kids by getting this cocaine off to Mexico. Stick it up your bum, Rikishi. Put the coke up your ass, Rikishi. Get to Mexico.
Make He's at home. His kids lock him in a dog crate. That's how the Usa Penitentiary was born.
Oh, shut up, Dad. Maybe we'll give, if he behaves, we'll give you some dog food later. Oh, thanks, kids. I knew I could make a difference.
Throw a double super kick at him. So, anyway, enough fun. Time for the Jarrett video again.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, they play the whole thing again because we're killing time. Stalling like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Sean versus IRS. As I realize, because I'm a geek, that on this program, the four heels from the Super WrestleMania game that came out 3 years earlier are on this show. Sean, IRS, DiBiase, and Papa Shango.
Oh, nice.
And Davey Boy's here somewhere, so he's so you have one of the baby faces, but no Savage, no Warrior, no Hogan. They're on the other show. Well, Warrior's not, but an imposter is.
Oh, that's a good show. I like that. I like that. I'll tell you something I noticed at the start of this match.
Yeah.
I think that little baby Bray Wyatt has been a naughty boy because somebody put a blue sock in Dad's whitewash. Because that shirt is like a weird sort of off blue, off aqua color. And that is the sort of color that you get when you put a blue sock in a whitewash.
Well, in IRS's defense, he probably doesn't care either way because if he hadn't subbed in for King Kong Bundy at the end of July for some house shows, this would have been his last match in the company.
Oh, really? So he's on the way out at this point.
Yeah, this is Erwin R. Scheister finishing up with WWF. Because he was going to be a road agent backstage, but then something happens.
Oh, dun, 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 dun. Find out in weeks to come.
Yes. So Sean stalls a lot, taunts him. So basically, he's doing IRS's bit, but more subversively. He dominates for a while. IRS does a hair pull and then runs away. But as though he's left a bag of flaming dog poo on someone's front doorstep and is scampered off.
He gets a good sprint on, doesn't he? Pulls the hair. He's out of there.
Then what follows is the best moment of IRS's career in terms of a wrestling spot, where Sean runs after him, beats him up in the aisle, drags him back in the ring, then hits him with the savage clothesline using IRS's tie.
Oh, that was nice. That was funny. Nice. I just like anyone using his tie for stuff.
But it isn't the same with Bobby and going, he's got him by the tongue. And Monson having this and go, that's his tie.
I did write,
this is kind of fast paced for an IRS match, which if you notice that, then that's a bad sign.
Sure. I think it's just Sean like bending time to make it look like it's quick.
Then during this match, we have kind of this weird bit where Vince and Lawler try to intimate that either Sid's running in or Diesel's running in, but they're not running in, and they're trying to like fake each other out, like, which I don't get what they were doing.
It's a weird way of sort of selling the main event coming up, or trying to make out that they're actually there.
Maybe the mescaline kicked in at that point. Because I was confused as what they were trying to go for here.
I think it's just them constantly trying to remind the audience that they're there live, definitely, honestly, and not in a studio somewhere. They're definitely there live.
Oh, absolutely. You know, 4 weeks in Danville, that sounds like a novel.
4 weeks in Danville and your heart beats faster.
One night in Paris, this is 4 weeks in Danville.
Four nights. Four nights in Danville. When
4 weeks.
Kiss me. Oh, kiss me. Oh, Christ. 4 weeks. Yeah, it's been 4 weeks in Danville. I tossed my head to the side and said, it's awful.
So before the break, Iris puts on like a chin lock chokehold, reverse choke site type deal.
A rest hold.
Yes. Well, we come back, it's still applied. Shouldn't Sean be dead?
It's a sweat rest hold is what it is. Thankfully, Sean didn't die because the sweat that IRS was emitting at this point was making his arms quite pliant, so Sean could relieve some of the pressure.
Iris's pits are covered in holy water. That burns.
He's so sweaty.
Vince even makes note of Iris being profusely sweating.
He's so sweaty. I see a doctor. Because that's like a pituitary gland issue, that is. That's an issue with your glands, that is. That's something's not... The body's not doing something right there. There's a knob that needs switching on your body somewhere.
It's like a glass of water when it condenses.
See, so I get that hot when I'm walking on a hot day, but like not, but only on my back. This is like all round sweat that this man gets.
Oh yeah, it's
just looks like he's very much like the comedian Lee Evans, who was notorious for sweating a lot on stage. Robin Williams used to sweat a lot on stage as well.
Well, that was crack. Which he's admitted to doing. I'm not making any aspersions here.
That explains it. That's the crack.
He was asked how he was able to quit cocaine so easy. He says, well, the grand jury helped.
He said, where'd you get the crack from? He said, oh, Fatu dropped it off earlier. He had it up his ass, flew on a plane. He's making a difference, that lad. He's great. I'm making a difference.
So
he gets his car stolen as he leaves the airport. Oh, what a day. We've made Fatu the saddest person. He's the saddest figure in wrestling.
Remember, no matter how bad a Raw gets, remember, we could be booking.
yeah, Christ. You're getting off lightly. Give me just in the book for 3 hours. Fox, it wouldn't last the first ad break. Fox had signed off on the deal.
Let's do a Doug and Henry guy with Iron Man match.
Like, oh, I can't think of anything to put this last hour. Oh, should we do a Doug and Hog Iron Man match again? Yeah, that'll be fine. Fills the hour.
So Iris goes for a flying nothing, hits a boot, avoids chin music, but then gets a shoulder block. Then he can't avoid it a second time, gets whacked. Sean wins the match. This was a pretty good IRS match.
It wasn't a shoulder block. It was the write-off that they always write off on commentary, which is IRS's perfect old running clothesline thingy.
Perfect, because he's being written off.
Yeah, it makes sense that the write-off, the man behind the write-off, has been written off. But I quite liked it. It was a sweet chin into a write-off, and then he couldn't hit another one, and then, boof, there's the chin music. Well, the super kick, as it's currently known.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although he'll be naming it very, very shortly.
Very shortly.
After the match, we have Barry Dodinsky, who found some poor lady to wear that awful Razor Ramon shirt that nobody would ever buy. Not because anything to do with Razor, it's just it's a bad shirt. Meanwhile, Barry is wearing the HBK heart-shaped lens sunglasses, which is a great way to sell them. Show how cool Barry looks wearing them.
Look how cool I am. Buy the glasses.
See, this is one of the great bits, like years later for great colleagues, just have them wear merchandise for these bits. No matter what it is, try to like put Collie in like any shirt.
Dodinsky's selling the shirt. Collie stood behind him, like that sort of middle distance stare going up. Wearing like a road dog t-shirt that's only up to his midriff. Why aren't we booking Raw?
Well, besides the obvious reasons.
I've got it, lads. We're bringing back Dodinsky. Vince, get Dodinsky on the phone now.
How about Barry the Sharkski?
Oh, Barry Dodinsky and Barry.
And Barry sell the merchandise.
You want to buy a t-shirt, you putz? Hey, look, you're a sweaty wrestling fan. Not like anyone's going to care what you wear. Buy a Road Dog t-shirt. Boy, you suck. Buy a t-shirt. You might feel better. I don't care.
See, truth in advertising.
It's not me. It's Barry saying that. It's not me. Barry saying that. You all suck. It's Barry saying that, not me.
But all this nonsense pays off with the following vignette. For a match next week, Bret Hart versus Hakushi.
Yay! A decent match.
Oh, no, it's more than yay. Because Hakushi in this match will do a move that had never been done on American TV before this match.
Ooh.
And I can't wait to see it.
Ooh. See, again, and if you're new here, well, I'm sorry, this is your first one. But if you're new here, like what I love about doing this show is that Justin lived through this whole period as a fan and watched it all this time. I was around, I was alive, but this is during my time as a lapsed fan. So I wasn't watching at this point. I didn't come back until like 1999. So all of this, like so much of this is new when I'm watching it for the first time. I'm seeing it for the first time. And I have no idea, genuinely, complete shoot, brother. I have no idea what move Justin Henry is referring to. So I look forward to finding out with you next week.
It's going to be a spinning eye gouge.
Is it going to be the write-off? No one's ever done that before. No, but I've been doing it for ages. Shut up, Erwin. Go help Rikishi put those drugs up his ass.
I'm staying in that puddle.
Oh. Splash, splash, splash.
Just wear galoshes everywhere he goes.
Crocs were invented for IRS, weren't they? I bet he lives in them now. Squelching everywhere he goes. Here comes Dad. Oh, was it 12 degrees upstairs again? Did you stand near the oven?
That's how the fiend was invented. Brace slipped on one of the puddles on the floor, bashed his head, and then he developed an alter ego. Any amnesia. I thought he was a psychotic murder clown.
Sweat heel.
So now we get an Isaac Yankum vignette. Comments on this poor kid's abscess. While Lark keeps on taunting him from the encouragement chair. So Yankum's going to have to pull this tooth. Now, I've had a tooth pulled. They numb you first. They're supposed to numb you first.
But not if you're my dad. Not if you're my dad.
So if I had
a wobbly tooth as a kid, a couple of times he did this, I had a little wobbly tooth and I was a little bit too scared just to go and pull it out if it was really wobbly. And then a few times my dad would go, oh, can I feel how wobbly it is? And I'd go, no, because you're going to pull it out. I'm not this time. And he put his hand on it and he just go, eh, and it'd be gone. I was like, you said you were going to pull it. So my dad's hardcore. He's hardcore.
Last time
Yanking
I had a tooth
my teeth
pulled,
out.
That's why you have trust issues.
Yes, it is indeed. So I don't let anyone near my mouth. Not even Alex.
Last time I had a tooth pulled. It's a back tooth. They gave me the Novocaine, waited for it to set in and all that. I felt nice and numb. And then the doctor came in. He used that grippy thing.
Oh yeah.
As soon as he grabbed it, I realized that I wasn't fully numbed or hadn't been numbed enough. Because you could feel the clamp, the way it clamped down. And I grabbed the hand rest like my claws. He goes, oh, I guess you need a little bit more. Checked it, waited 2 minutes. All right, let's try it now. Popped it right out.
Oh. Thing. How did it feel? Do you feel better for it being out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It feels a little weird to chew in it in like a spot where there's no tooth, but not bad at all.
Nice. So it wasn't like this then.
No. where Yankum basically puts his knee right on the kid's torso because he's got to get some leverage here. Puts the gripper in and rips it right out of his mouth. And they digitize the result, pixelate it out so you can't see the bloody aftermath. It's kind of a morbid vignette, actually.
I put in my notes here. They had to digitize the tooth. I presume it was a WCW tooth. They later replaced it with the tag team titles.
It was a WWF logo on it. The old scratch logo.
Yeah. Damn you, Coliseum tagged classics. Silver Vision tagged classics.
So yes, Yankum is sadistic.
Hall of Fame for whoever had to work for Silver Vision and blur out all the logos for the tagged classic DVDs.
Well, I would have done that for free.
Yeah.
Just watch old shows.
Oh, I could imagine the faff. It'd be fun for a bit, but then I'd just despair after a while.
I need a lot of breaks.
In fact, next time I do the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast, I will put that person into the Hall of Fame. Next time somebody's off and I have to step in and do it, I'm going to put them.
Give them the Warrior Award.
Yeah, I'll give them the Warrior Award.
Either him or the guy who gave Hogan his clean urine.
Oh, yeah! That's a fun time.
They should have ducked that guy just for a goof.
It's probably far too.
I made a difference.
Cheers, brother. I'm going to go do some more coke. Okay, that's fine. I've made a difference, though. You sure did, brother. I can have more coke now.
Comma versus Billy Mac.
You know, it's the Mac belligerent.
Coming to get it on. Yes, this is Rodney's brother.
The first Mac militant is in the house.
Kama gets a lot of takedowns. Then Mac actually goes up and gets a missile drop kick, which I was not expecting. But Kama stops the rally with a spinning savate kick and finishes with a Balrog knockout punch. And then goes to the floor and yells at the Creatures of the Night afterwards.
Imagine if they book Kama at this point the same way that AEW have been booking Anthony Ogogo.
Yeah.
That just like, boom, gut punch. That's the end of the match. Thanks for coming.
Except I can't imagine Taker entering the Cody's entrance. Well, American Dream, American Badass, it's kind of similar. So then we come to a really enlightening ending segment. This is going to bring out his lumberjacks. This is the big selling point for the pay-per-view. Although it does include my favorite moment of the entire show, Vince brings Diesel out first, you know, the erstwhile superhero of the company, the man that Vince has pinned all of his hopes and dreams on. Lawler's alone at the desk at this point. He has to put over the positive response because somebody has to. He's really over with this crowd. There's some people were cheering, admittedly. So during Diesel's opening remarks, Lawler talks over all of it.
Oh, I hated that.
This one made up for it. So after Lawler makes this point, he goes, "What'd he say?" Because he wasn't listening. Why that killed me. Champ's not even worth listening to. Then Vince makes a Frank Perdue joke, allowing Diesel to fill in the blanks. Because Sid's chicken, you see.
He said that was it. Because he said Sid is like Frank Perdue. Yeah, surrounded by loads of chickens.
Oh, but isn't Sid the chicken?
Exactly. This is just a Vince-ism. Like Vince going to his mental well for a chicken reference and going, okay, 95. KFC's really big. He could be like Colonel Sanders. No, Frank Perdue, the 498-year-old CEO of Perdue Farms. That's your topical reference, Vince.
Well, I eat Perdue chicken to this day. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but surely KFC is a more, I'm going to use that word again, it's like I've just discovered it, a more zeitgeisty analysis to make. You're like Colonel Sanders, look, surrounded by chickens.
Wait, you've just discovered it?
I haven't, but I feel like I have because I've used it twice today and I used it in a video the other day. And I'm worried that people might think I've only just discovered the word zeitgeist. I just happen to have found a few circumstances where I can use it.
But say it's a Smashing Pumpkins album.
That's where I'm using it. Thank you, Billy Corgan.
And thank you for the NWA. So this is not, so Diesel's basically just the slumming his way through this promo. He barely cares. You could tell this is, they've been at this building for 7 hours, maybe longer. So then he name drops Don Pardo, who was in fact alive when this show aired and lived up until a few years ago, actually. The longtime announcer for SNL. That's Saturday Night Live. The great Don Pardo. And out comes Diesel's Lumberjacks.
Lumberjacks.
Bigelow, the Smoking Guns, Bob Holly, 1-2-3 Kid, so far so good, Techno Team 2000.
Yes! The highlight of the Lumberjacks.
I'm pretty sure Eric Watts has beaten Kevin Nash before.
Like you might, yeah. Surely they have. Yeah, they would have had some scuffles in Dub C Dub.
Oh, God, they don't put my kid over. Adam Bomb, Savio Vega, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, still here. Man Mountain Rock, Shawn Michaels, and Fatu. No Razor, but he'll be there Sunday, I believe. So this is slightly more impressive than the heel roster, I will say.
It is just all the baby faces, isn't it? It's just all the baby faces, with the exception of Contaracas.
And Brett and Taker. But yes, no Contaracas.
Yeah, Brett and Taker want nothing to do with this.
So then we get this bit that I guess is supposed to be comedic.
It's always a worry when you go, I think this was meant to be funny. But
now, look, let me preface. Kevin Nash is one of the five funniest people there has ever been in professional wrestling. The man has a dry sense of humor that is unparalleled. The man is hysterically funny when he's on his game. Look at his X Division stewardship gimmick from 15 years ago for proof of that. Or his time just butting up with Hall in WCW and being the comic relief of the NWO. The man is funny.
He's a funny man.
This is not funny. This is him doing shtick. Company approved shtick. He says, so I'm going to pretend to be Sid. And I wrote, oh no. don't climb to the top rope.
I'm going to pretend to be Sid. Gets out a softball bat. I'm off for a week. I'll see you later.
A week? I'm off for 17 months. So then Diesel says, he walks over to Bam Bam and says, if I'm Sid, what are you going to do to me? He was like, I'm going to set him afire. I hope literally.
It sounded like, I had to watch it back because I thought he said, I'm going to set him on fire. Then I watched it back and he did say fire. Set him on fire.
So then Diesel goes to the other side of the ring. Sadly, he doesn't ask Eric Watts what he's going to do with Sid.
I was hoping they'd all get asked. What are you going to do with him, Duke? I'm going to take out the trash. What are you going to do with him, Adam Bomb? I'm going to blow him up. What are you going to do with him, Bob Holly? I'm going to ram a car into him. What are you going to do, Smoking Guns? I'm going to shoot him. What are you going to do, Fatu? I'm going to put this cocaine up my bum and get on that plane. Make a difference.
We can do it, man.
Go away.
We can do it, man. Mount Rock. I'm gonna make a documentary about the stuff you did backstage and try to sell it.
What you do, Eric Watts? I'm gonna call my dad.
What are you gonna do to him, other guy from Techno Team 2000?
I'm gonna call his dad.
We can do it, Savio. I'm gonna blow mist in his face. You're not Quang anymore. Oh.
What are you do with him, Bart Gud? I'm gonna knock him out. No, not yet. What are you gonna do, Billy? I'm gonna get my bum out. Fatu says, do you want to put some cocaine up it? No, I don't, Fatu. Shut up.
We can do it, Adam Bomb. Well, I don't fucking care. I'm leaving next month.
I'm going to be a missed opportunity for the company.
So then he goes over to Sean, and this is a legitimate one. He asks, what are you going to do to Sid if he comes your way? And Sid says, I'm going to give him a little chin music for the psycho Sid, man.
It was a half-fleshed-out line, wasn't it? But there's a little something in there.
But yes, that's how we got sweet chin music.
That was like digging through a bit of dog dirt to find a piece of gold.
Well, Sean actually got it from a baseball game.
Ah, so you're going to give us the origin of chin music here?
Yes, it was, as he mentioned in his book, it was I can't remember who and all was playing, but Roger Clemens, the famed pitcher, was in the game and almost hit a batter in the head with a pitch. And the commentator says, oh, we almost got a little chin music there. And Sean liked the way it sounded.
He also did like a little motion where he smacked his own face and looked down at the camera, which is something that he would do in 2003, if I remember correctly. Do you remember those animated title cards that we used to have?
Oh, yeah.
He did that then. He did it all those years later.
Yeah, that yeah, that was the thing.
In the face, like, oh, slapped himself in the face.
Well, it was how he telegraphed the kick, then stomping rhythmically.
Xavier Woods copied it for WrestleMania, where they had the animated title cards. He did the Shawn Michaels bit as well, which was a nice little touch.
Of course, because he's a nostalgia geek.
Basically, Xavier Woods is spending 2021 emulating Shawn Michaels by doing the little pose like that. Doing a little bit of chin music in a match. That was quite cute. And doing a Hell in a Cell.
Wait, I mean, he can't be Shawn. He lost his belt in the ring.
Hey! That's very true.
So
he's never lost his smile.
Speaking of belts, Vince has been holding the belt this entire time while he does his demonstration.
Trying it on for size for a few years' time.
Oh, yeah. So then Sid heads out. And then Lawler makes it sound like there's going to be some big confrontation. But then we go to commercial. Make sure you stay tuned for the final 2 minutes of this crap. We come back, all the lumber heels are out there. There's a long standoff. And Sid backs down, and that's it. Faces celebrate, buy the pay-per-view. Fiend.
It just occurred to me, before the heels come out, in fact, it might even count. No, because it doesn't. Oh, no, it does, actually. When the heels come out as well, so when all the lumberjacks are out there, and you've got Diesel and Sid and Vince and all that, the only people in that ringside area that would become WWF champion are Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Vince McMahon.
Yes.
It's just a fun fact.
I genuinely enjoyed that fun fact.
Thank you, mate.
It's good times ahead.
In your house too, baby!
Sid eventually wins it.
And Sid.
Because Sid beat the click.
He did beat the click. I think that's everybody.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah, pretty sure no one else did it. No. Dude Drosy never had his time. Adam Bomb never had his day. Livid.
Of course.
Livid.
And that's it. Are you psyched up for In Your House too?
Mate, I am pumped for In Your House 2, the Lumberjacks.
Stop right there. You're full of crap.
How dare you? How dare you? It was called In Your House 2, the Lumberjacks in some markets.
Well, that's how they kind of market it in hindsight for like video releases, I believe.
That makes more sense.
Because one was the premiere, two, the Lumberjacks, three, triple header, four, Great White North, five, Seasons Beatings, and six, Rage in a Cage.
And then from there, they just all get better names.
Well, if you call Beware of Dog a good name.
Yes, I do.
What the show should have called was like, holy shit, the sky is black. Holy shit, it's windy.
In your house. Ah, bees! That is Raw for this week. Next time we are together is for a In Your House 2 watch along. Myself, Justin Henry, and star of TikTok, Professor Nick Harrison, makes his Cultaholic podcast debut, joining us to watch In Your House 2. You'll be able to watch along with us if you have access to the WWE Network and or to Peacock. Thanks very much, Justin. Have a lovely week. What are you doing this week? Are you doing anything nice this week?
I'm getting back to writing on Thursday. We have some behind the matches to write.
Ooh. Exciting times. Big fan of behind the matches. And it's back on our YouTube. In fact, a brand new episode of The Story Behind dropped on Sunday. There's an amazing story behind and the ECW fire.
Yes, it is, which is already premiered. That came out on Saturday when we covered the charming time in which Cactus Jack and Terry Funk almost caused ECW Arena to go up in flames.
And until we are next together, he is at JRH writing on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together! We are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us Hell in a Smell 4 this weekend at youtube.com/live/cultaholic. You know the link by now. Adam Pacitti is going to have a horrible weekend. You can watch it. Oh, you lucky devils. Love you. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.